Hello, this is Judith, Doctor, talking to you about session five. And this is session five, part one, family sin patterns. In this Zoom group, we've been looking at the need for our souls to be restored. And we've been looking at several issues that affect our soul. And on this Zoom group, we're going to talk about family sin patterns. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about or not, but we want to explore our generational family sin patterns. And many years ago, I had a dream one night that was in my childhood home in the backyard, and there was a tree that was walking toward me. The tree had no branches on it, and it was just stalking me, it felt like. And I ran from the tree and ran into the house. And I turned around, and this tree was right in the house. So I ran out the front door, and the tree was following me. This is a dream, right? And remember, it says in Acts that God, there will be dreams, visions, and prophecies after the Holy Spirit is poured out. And God has used dreams many times to reveal things to me that I needed to work with or understand or fix in some way. And this was a dream that was very clearly directed me to look at my family sin patterns and my generational family tree. And so this was a tree that was stalking me. It was my family tree. This was a childhood home I grew up in. And as I walked, I ran down the street from this tree, I became suddenly an inchworm. An inchworm is a little tiny worm that's just crawling along the sidewalk. And that was my dream. And when I woke up, I understood that that was my family tree. I need to stop and look at my family of origin, my family, generational family, grandparents, etc., and take time to look at my family tree. And so with God's help, this is what happened. There were a number of incidences I experienced in the following year that brought me into touch with my family history, my family generational family patterns, I guess you want to call it. And one of the things that happened, I was in the clinic in Germany, and I was invited to attend the art group. And in this art group, the therapist asked us to draw a member of everybody in our family of origin in a symbolic form. You know the word symbols? Something that symbolic would represent your mother, your father, yourself, your sisters, your brothers. And so I did that. That was very interesting to look at later when I got home. And look how it really revealed the patterns of a dysfunctional family whose dad was alcoholic. And then I took a class in college, and in that college class, I wrote a paper on my mother myself. And I was able to work with, I forgot the name of the man who, oh, I wish I knew his name, but I was able to work with him on my family tree. I also talked with my mother about our family history, and I made a big collage of a family tree that looked at how many times alcoholism was in the family tree. And then I journaled a lot about my family, because God clearly wanted me to look at my family. I wanted to be bound to the earth, like the little inchworm. I wasn't going to be free to move by the Holy Spirit if I didn't look at and examine what actually happened in my family history. And you know, sometimes people don't want to look at their family history or their family sin problems because they've been taught, you know, to honor their family, honor their mother and their father, and they're afraid to do that. But one way to look at this is that it's really an honorable thing to do, is to break your family sin patterns. So you can break them, so you can recognize that the pattern was repeated for a number of generations. And so it brings your family honor when you can break those sin patterns. And, you know, when we do this in this group, we're not trying to blame your family. We're just trying to, we're trying to look at what happened in the family history and how it is affecting your life today. And I remember at the time I asked the Lord about it, and he took me to a couple of scriptures, and maybe I've mentioned them other times, but one is in Luke 8, and you're going to find these in your assignment sheets that you'll get off my website. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known or come to the light. And again, in Matthew 10, it says, there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. So I pray that God will give you the courage to look closely at your family tree and to explore it and talk with some of your family members about your family sin patterns. By doing so, it will help you recognize the vulnerabilities you may have in some areas of your life. It's the first step that you need to take, is to uncover your family sin patterns. You know, when I worked on my family tree, and I did a collage work, and I looked at all the different members of my family who were alcoholics. That was interesting, isn't it? And a whole family's, you know, and I looked at the problems of jealousy in my family history, and broken relationships, the problem of divorce in my family history. These kinds of things. It's not uncommon to see a family with generations of physical abuse. The father abuses the mother. They had a daughter, and the daughter grows up and marries a man who abuses her. These are common sin, family sin patterns. Got that? Family sin patterns. And sometimes they're called, I don't see it right now, but family sin patterns have an unusual pull on your soul. This is the interesting thought that I read in this book. They have an interesting pull. They have an unusual pull. They're often the most stubborn sin patterns to break. Family sin patterns will always affect us. We can get victory over them, but it does take effort to do it. Jesus once told a parable that said that if one doesn't know the strength of his enemy, he'd be foolhardy to do battle. It's in your notes. It's Luke 14:31. But Dr. Rob Rainer suggests some of the reasons why they're so difficult to overcome. It's because that they've been modeled for you. As you grew up, you watched your parents and how they functioned. And their parents before them modeled it. And these behaviors have been modeled and reinforced for many generations. They're entrenched in the family system. So we pick up the woundedness of our parents along with their sinful attitudes. And, you know, there are many studies that have been done on this that find that behavioral, emotional, mental, and physical problems often repeat themselves, rolling down from fathers and mothers to their children and grandchildren. You know, the question is, how does this happen? One idea that I think of is that it's because the damaged and destructive emotions, when something is never healed and a sin was never forgiven and they were never freed from it and is repeated over and over, is it affects the emotions in the family. And so the family has these damaged emotions and destructive emotions and negative thought patterns. They have some familiar spirits, which we'll talk about maybe in a little bit, and genetically inherited diseases. The reason is that the family does not have the blessing of God on them. Another reason why these are difficult to break free from or to overcome, these family sin patterns, is because of they're demonically reinforced. Demonically reinforced. You can see in James 3:14-15, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly. Now listen, naturally and demonic. This is a problem of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. These are sin patterns in our family trees. And they're anchored with a demonic spirit. They're reinforced with demonic spirits. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, explains very carefully that God has given us a choice between life and death, the blessing and the curse. The blessing and the curse. And if we listen to his voice and do what he says, etc., then we will have the blessings of God in our life. But if we don't, we don't have those blessings. And then a curse comes into the family tree. And so some weeks down the road here in our group, we'll talk about curses and how to break them. But I don't want to focus on that today. But curses very much get involved in the generational sin patterns in your family tree. You know, God holds the father as the head of the family. He holds him responsible for the blessings and curses in your family. Every time the head of the family deliberately turns away from God, he opens himself and his family to effects of the judgment and the curse. You know, my father was an alcoholic, and my brothers, several number of my brothers were alcoholics, and they died very young in their 60s. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm now in my 84-year-old. Three of my brothers died when they were in their 60s because they very much were affected by my father's alcoholism. You know, as young teenagers, they had to go get him out of bars and bring him home drunk. And so these are sin patterns. My uncle, my father's brother, they were alcoholics. You can see this in the family history. And it affects the children in the next generation. And it moves forward. There are a number of scriptures that talk about this in the Old Testament. I'm going to read just one to you, but they're in your notes. This one is Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. You know, so it's kind of a mystery how this happens, that the iniquities of the fathers affects the children. But St. Paul states that we're all members of one another. And if one member is wounded, they all share in the pain. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So because of these generational sin patterns, doorways are open to the kingdom of darkness, to Satan. And ungodly, destructive forces are at work in our lives. But they had their origin maybe in several generations ago. One of the problems is that many, even believers, don't understand what Jesus did for them on the cross. They don't understand how he broke the curse. They might be free from the curse and receive the blessings of Abraham. So we don't understand. This is ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge, it says in the Old Testament, because we don't understand the effect. I think you got the point already. So as I already mentioned, in another session, we'll talk about demonic issues and breaking curses. I told you a little bit about my family history. And one of the things that I remember one day, my friend Ralph Nault came into the house. And he just came up to me, and he came against a familiar spirit that was affecting me, a familiar spirit. And he said to me, "You're the only person I've ever met that had a familiar spirit from somebody who was still alive. It was my mother, familiar spirit that had passed down from woman to woman in our family." And the reason I understood this is because whenever I'd be ironing, I would feel like my mother was ironing. I had trouble separating me from my mother because of this familiar spirit. I had trouble separating, becoming who I was, my own identity. But it was a familiar spirit that was causing this problem until the day Ralph Nault broke it and commanded to leave me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has available to us when the right moment, when the right time is there. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. These gifts of the Holy Spirit can help us at the right time when we need it. But for a few minutes, I just want to talk to you about the problem, not problem, but some biblical examples of the power of family sins moving through the generations. Do you remember King David's family? Do you know what the sin pattern was in his family? Think about it a moment. King David had sexual relationships with another man's wife while he was away at war. He committed adultery and finally had her husband murdered. And it says in the Bible that what David had done displeased the Lord, and Nathan the prophet informed David that his family would be full of violence, and one of David's sons would one day lie with his wife in full public view. David repented of his sin, and the Lord forgave him. However, the sin had its consequences. There was a curse of death on the child. 2 Samuel 12:14. In the second generation of David's sons, he let one of his sons get away with rape with his half-sister, David's son Ammon, and he raped his half-sister Tamar, and he failed to punish his son's crime, though the law of Moses required it. David's son Absalom arranged to have Ammon killed, committing murder. So here's that problem of violence in King David's history. Another son, Adonijah, became a traitor to the crown and schemed to obtain one of David's women for his wife. In the third generation, King David's grandson, Rehoboam, abandoned the Lord and sponsored idol cults and the sins associated with them. And it goes on. He built pagan shrines and for male prostitution. The fourth generation, King David's great-grandson, Abijah, A-B-I-J-A-H, followed his father's sinful footsteps. Finally, in the fifth generation, David's great-great-grandson, Asa, became a man whose son turned toward the Lord and worshiped the Lord and removed paganism from the kingdom. Interesting, isn't it? The fifth generation, it stopped. And the great-great-grandson turned to the Lord and worshiped the Lord and removed paganism and associated evils from the kingdom. He did that which was right and good in the eyes of God, 1 Kings 15:10-24. And then Abraham's family tree is another example of the power of these generational sin patterns. Abraham's family tree reveals a pattern of lying. For four generations, he struggled with lying when the pressure was on him. Remember, he lied when his wife and said his wife was his sister because he was afraid someone would kill him and take his wife, even though she was quite an old woman at that time. So Abraham had a fear of man, and lying was repeated by his son Isaac, and his grandson Jacob, and his great-grandchildren, and Jacob's 10 sons. The wives of his son, Rebekah, and grandson, Jacob, also lied. And it goes on. And Jacob was actually nicknamed the Great Deceiver. Another problem in Abraham's family was that they had a favoritism. They favored one child over another. You can see this with Abraham and Sarah. Their promised child was Isaac. But Ishmael got caught, tossed aside, the first son that was born to Abraham. Isaac grows up and marries Rebekah, and they have Esau and Jacob. Isaac favored Esau, and Rebekah favored Jacob. And so they resort to the old family pattern of lying to cheat Esau's birthright from him. So I hope you understand how these sins are rolled over the next generation. This is under the law of Moses. Thank God. At the end of your assignment sheet, you'll read a scripture there that Christ, because of what Christ has done, he set us free from the curse of the law. But right now, because of the old covenant, they were under a curse when they sinned against God. And they didn't repent of it. And then, of course, Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was Joseph, and that was his favorite. And his father picked a special robe for Jacob. It says in Genesis 37:3-4, Israel, or Jacob you call him, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamental robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him. And remember, they sold him into slavery. So you see, favoritism, preferring one of your children over another, causes strife and enmity in your family tree. But the good news is that God redeems the journey into slavery, that Joseph went into slavery. But God was so good, he was able to redeem him out of the evil and lift him up and use him to fulfill the purpose he had for him. So this is what I want to talk to you about, is these generational sin patterns. And in the next part, too, I'm going to talk to you about some of the principles you can use to break free from sin patterns, okay? So talk with you soon.